privilege that we have to be able to speak to an almighty God who is way beyond our wildest imagination. We don't have to make any special arrangements before coming to God in prayer. Try to speak to any head of state without making special arrangement. Senator, governor, the president, whoever. Try to speak to them without making any special arrangement. And even after you make the special arrangement, no one's saying you're going to be successful. But we could go to God in prayer without any special arrangement. We can come to the Lord as a child comes to a parent in time of need. And God is waiting to hear us. Even though he already knows what we're going to say, he's waiting to hear us. That's how much he loves us. We also discussed last week how prayer is possible only through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Through his sacrifice at Calvary, he opened the lines of communication to the throne of God. But sometimes we may be tempted to think that the Lord isn't paying attention to our prayers or has forgotten our requests. Not a chance. This morning I would like to speak about the fact that God will never forget us. And I mean never. He answers every prayer. He is very aware of every event in our lives. We see that the Lord is omniscient, which means all-knowing. But sometimes we need to be reminded that nothing escapes him. He is totally aware of every single detail of our lives. He hasn't forgotten even one of our prayers, including the very first prayer that we made to him as a child. God sees, he hears, he knows, and he understands everything about us and cannot forget. He is watching us and caring for us with a love that will not let us go. So what about God seeing? If you could turn with me to Genesis chapter 16 and verses 7 to 14. Genesis chapter 16 and verses 7 to 14. Good example of how God sees. Genesis chapter 16, and begin at verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found Hagar. Before I read this, let me just say that Hagar, Sarah's maid, there was strife between Sarah and Hagar. Sarah was Abraham's wife. Hagar had to go out into the wilderness. Now the angel of the Lord found Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lahairoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So God had already made a promise to Abraham that he would have a son. But Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands and decided that he should have a child with Sarah's maid Hagar. And a harsh relationship developed between Sarah and Hagar, and Hagar left the household of Abraham and fled into the wilderness, as we said. But the Lord saw Hagar in the wilderness and did not forget her. He even made a promise to her that he would greatly multiply her offspring. The Lord sees us when we're in a spiritual wilderness. He doesn't forget us or his promises to be with us and take care of us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Hagar spoke the words which are still a comfort to us today. You are a God who sees. God doesn't miss anything in our lives. I want to read something in Psalm 139. You don't have to turn to it, but I could read it to you. Psalm 139 and verses 7 to 12. It just shows how God doesn't miss anything. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." So there is no place on earth or in the entire universe that God cannot see. Nothing escapes his vision. Darkness can't hinder or obscure his vision. God sees in the darkness as if it were light. There's a line from a song entitled "King of All Kings." It says, "Darkness can't hide me. He'll find me, I know. For men are his diamonds, and he loves me so." We remember the story about the Indian. An Indian boy, when he's 12 years old, has to become a brave. And in order to do so, he has to spend one night alone in the wilderness. And the father gave this Indian boy everything he needed to spend one night in the wilderness alone, and he went out. So in the middle of the night, middle of the darkness, this young 12-year-old boy, he was rustling in the leaves behind him, and he got startled, and he thought, you know, he said, "This must be a wild animal around. You know, what's going on?" He got scared. And he turned around and saw his father there. And he said to his father, "What are you doing here?" And the father said, "Did you think I would ever leave you? Because I've been here all night." That's the way God is with us. He will never leave us. No matter how dark things get in our life, no matter what problem or what we're facing, God is here with us. And just very briefly, I can vouch for that when I had cancer twice. That's when you feel God the closest, because he's there. I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. If you would like to turn to it, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay. I'll read it to you. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning of verse 27. Nothing escapes God. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow faint and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Can anything be hidden from the Lord? And aside from having perfect vision, God has telephoto vision. He has wide-angle vision. He can see everything at the same time from outer space. He has microscopic vision also at the same time. His vision is never blurred. He doesn't have to squint to see something. He doesn't need corrective lenses, and he'll never need LASIK surgery. His eyes are never dim and never get old. No matter what condition we are in, he sees, he knows, he understands, and he cares more than we could imagine. You could turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 7 to 14. Exodus chapter 3 and verses 7 to 14. This is God speaking to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the son of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I, that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God answered Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. People were in Egypt for about 400 years. They may have thought that God did not see and was not aware of their situation. But the Lord told Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people Israel. If you have been in an affliction for an extended period of time, don't lose hope. God has surely seen your affliction. Nothing escapes God's eyes. Just want to back up one chapter, Exodus chapter 2. I'll just read two verses. You don't have to turn to it. Exodus chapter 2, I'm reading verses 23 to 25. Now we'll know that God hears. Exodus chapter 2, 23 to 25. Now it came about in the course of time that the king of Egypt died. This is when the Israelites were still in Egypt. And the sons of Israel sighed because of their bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Very interesting thing here, if you read between the lines. It says the Israelites, quote unquote, cried out. But the Bible doesn't say who they cried to. Some of the Israelites in Egypt began to worship idols. So who did they cry to? An idol can't hear. So who was listening? God was listening. He saw, he took notice. He heard the cries of his children who were in bondage and hurting in Egypt. Maybe 400 years have passed, but God still remembers his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We were in bondage to sin and hurting, but the Lord saw our misery and heard our cries. Amazing love and mercy and compassion came through Jesus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 tells us that God heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I have heard their cry. God was aware of the cries of his children and was going to do something about it. The Lord identified himself to Moses as I am. And the Almighty I am was going to deliver his children from bondage in Egypt. No matter how powerful the Pharaoh of Egypt was, he was no match for God. We may have afflictions and problems and hurts, but Satan is no match for the great I am. The Almighty I am sees, he hears, he knows about your problems, and he will act. Now, hundreds of years later, something we discussed last week, so I'm not going to read it, but hundreds of years later, the king of Assyria, of the Assyrian Empire, Sennacherib, defied the Lord, but he discovered that he was no match for God. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, sent letters to King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and he sent this letter to taunt the people of Judah and to terrify them, saying that he would completely destroy them. The Assyrian army was one of the most brutal armies that ever existed. They devastated the lands that they fought against. The lands that the Assyrian army attacked were not able to stand against them. But when Sennacherib was preparing to attack Jerusalem, he didn't know who he was coming up against. He sent letters to insult God and his ability to deliver, saying that no God has been able to withstand me, and neither could your God. He will not be able to deliver you. Oh, yeah? King Hezekiah of Judah, even though he was overwhelmed, acted wisely in contacting the prophet Isaiah and presented the letter to the Lord in the temple. When we are overwhelmed in trouble and affliction, there is always an answer and relief and comfort in prayer. Through prayer, we can approach the Lord at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the temple, as we discussed last week. Now, Hezekiah, even though he was king, could not enter the Holy of Holies. But thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus in spirit, we can enter the Holy of Holies. Every time we pray, we could enter the Holy of Holies. We can bring our afflictions to Jesus, who is known as the Christ of every crisis. Nothing ever overwhelms him. He's never in crisis mode. He sees our struggles, our afflictions. He knows our fears. He knows our hurts. He sees when Satan comes against us. He hears our prayers and defends us. No matter how bleak our situation appears, God is able. Remember, he refers to himself as the great I am. Nobody could stand up against him. After Hezekiah prayed to the God about the threat of King Sennacherib, one angel went out that night, one angel, and killed 185,000 soldiers of Sennacherib's army. Sennacherib shook his puny fist at the Almighty God and was miserably defeated. Do you remember when Jesus was on the boat, asleep in the boat, and there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee? And disciples woke him up, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus got up He rebuked the wind and the waves, as we know. He was sleeping during the storm. The waves and the wind didn't bother him, but no, when he woke up, the cries of his children. He hears the cries of his children. He slept through the wind and the waves. That didn't bother him. But when his disciples were crying, he heard their cry, even in his sleep. God hears every cry. I don't care. It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. It doesn't matter how bleak things look. It doesn't look like you're at the end, because God has no end. God's man's extremity is God's opportunity. No matter what you're going through, God has an answer. Trust him this morning. He'll get you through anything. And God remembers. God remembers his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, even after 400 years. Thank God, we don't have to wait that long. Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, prayed earnestly to the Lord for children. The Lord heard her prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19 states, "And the Lord remembered her." And the Lord remembers all your prayers. Hundreds of years later, the people of Judah were praying in captivity under the Babylonian Empire. And the people in Babylon were telling the people of Israel who were in captivity, "Sing us one of your songs of joy." And they said, "How can we sing our songs of joy?" I'm going to read you the answer. The answer that the Lord gave. They said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" And God has an answer. "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chiefest joy." The Creator saying, "May my right hand forget her skill." When you see the unfathomable complexity of God's creation, do you think that the Creator will ever forget his skill? The answer to that question is that God will never, ever forget you. Like I said before, it doesn't matter what your situation, it doesn't matter how bleak it looks, God has an answer. He's got a deliverance for you. Just go to him. I'm going to read again, just, I know it's a lot of reading, you don't have to turn to it, but Isaiah chapter 49, but this is so impressive. Watch how God never forgets. I'll read it to you. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 to 16. "But Zion, people of God, said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me.' And God answered, 'Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me.'" An abnormal mother may forget her child, but there is no chance of God ever forgetting his children. Jesus died for us, and you know what? The nail prints are still in his hands, even in heaven. Nail prints are still there, so he remembers you. Israel may have been going through a very difficult time, but it didn't mean that God had forgotten his children. We may be in an affliction for an extended period of time. Doesn't mean that the Lord has forgotten us. Don't let a waiting period, here's a good point. Don't let a waiting period fool you. "Oh, God forgot. God, stop paying attention to my prayer. He doesn't care. He never forgets." Well, mind like his. How is he going to forget your problem? How is he going to forget you? He never will. He died for you. How is he going to forget you? I'll read you Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Don't have to turn to it. "But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by your name. you are mine. You are mine. Those of you who are parents, can you forget your children? How much more God will not forget his children. And God understands. God knows how we feel because he could feel our hurts. When you feel a hurt, God knows exactly how you feel. That's the way his heart works. Bible says in Hebrews, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. God understands more than we know. Jesus said, come to me, because he knows the burdens that we carry. He knows about our pains. He sees our afflictions. He knows our trials. He sees our tears. Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. If you've ever cried, if you've ever been alone and cried, no one heard you except God. When you thought you were alone and no one was paying attention to your cry, your hurts, God heard your cry. God felt your hurts. It's the way his heart works. God was paying attention. He hears every cry, and you can be sure that it affects his heart. It says so in the book of Hebrews. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You cry to God, it hits his heart. And what a heart he has. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's a good one. Psalm 56, verse 8. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Every time you cry to God, you know what? When you cry to God, your tears are in heaven. It says so right in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Psalm 56, verse 8. You have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? If God bottles your tears, how could he not be paying attention to you when you cry to him? Nothing escapes God's vision, hearing, or any of his senses. He made the senses. Why wouldn't his work why wouldn't his senses work perfectly and beyond what we could think or imagine if he made the senses? From age to age, he's the same. Therefore, he will never have hearing loss. His eyes will never grow dim. He will never get dementia. He sees, he hears, he knows, he understands. He cares beyond what we could think, and he will never forget us. There's the chorus to this song titled, God Can't Forget. He's going to read it to you. He says, can the river forget how to run? Can a woman forget her own son? Can the sun cease to set? Yes, they may, but my God can't forget. So I'll leave you with that. We're going to